Tech Talk with Jeff Quattromani.
G'day, Jeff. How are you, mate?
I'm really well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Jeff. This week, you say you've ditched... I read this and I thought, what? You've ditched the smartphone and opted for a simpler life. I now use a basic Nokia phone and am adjusting to less beeps and buzzing. Yeah, that's fine. But how long are you going to do this for, Jeff?
I don't know. I honestly don't know at the moment. I changed over last week and I sort of got a little bit fed up with almost every spare moment that I had. I would look into Twitter or Facebook or Instagram and I would just find myself just wasting time scrolling through everything and catching up on notifications and not actually getting anything out of it. It was a bit of a time waster. And I thought the only way that at the moment that I could think about self-adjusting was to get rid of it. And I went to Nokia and I got the most basic handheld phone that I can get, which has over a week's of battery life, which has been fun. And it's been very different to sort of adjust to a different phone and a different way of spending my day.
But you see, from someone that lives on their own midweek, right, I find the iPad, not necessarily the iPhone because I'm old and I need reading glasses, okay? Mm-hmm. So the iPad, I find the iPad is company. You know, you get company, as in, you know, you get home at the end of the day, you've done your work, you might have something to do when you get home, you do that. What do? You know, you're there on your own, the iPad's company. So you open up the iPad and you check your Twitter feed, you read the newspaper to see what other stories have come in. It's company. Otherwise, what do? You sit there in the dark of a night time.
I think there's always going to be a time to check those things. I think for me, the problem was more that I was doing it almost at any spare moment that I had. And last week, I had to catch a train, for example, to pick up a car. And I found myself taking a book and actually getting some reading done because I've always been meaning to get some more of that done and just never get around to doing it because I just waste too much time.
Are you on the Nokia phone at the moment?
I am. Is it a bad thing?
It is a bad thing.
Oh, no. That's my first reason I have to go back.
It's coming in and out. We'll see how we persist.
Okay.
So you've ditched the smartphone. You've opted for a simpler life. When do you think you'll, when do you think you'll change, you'll move out of home, you'll move into a tent, and you'll start to grow your own veggies and drink your own urine?
I don't think I'm going to go that far. I am starting to learn some new tricks, though, that I think I will switch back to my smartphone, but probably actually remove apps like Facebook and Instagram just so I'm not checking them on my phone. I can make time to do that on a computer or a tablet when I've actually, you know, sat down at my desk. And I think there will just be some adjustments I need to make. I probably went really cold turkey and I'll slowly start to wean myself back on. That might be the best way to do it.
Well, you're into composting.
This isn't the next thing. Gosh, you must think I'm losing my mind. Actually.
Oh, no. I think it's a simpler life. A simpler life is probably a better life. But it's getting there.
So Breville have announced a product called the Food Cycler. And so a lot of people, if they have scraps from their, you know, preparing dinner and things like that, a lot of people actually throw it into the bin, which goes into landfill, whereas others actually compost in their backyard. But if you live in an apartment or you don't have that sort of opportunity, Food Cycler is a box that you can throw these, you know, bits of waste into, and then you basically cook it. And essentially, the machine cooks it for 4 hours and reduces the amount by 80%. So you can then, you know, either dispose of that but you know, a reduction of 80% is trying to help save again on landfill, but it's $600. It's not cheap.
Get rid of that phone, Jeff Quattromani.
Oh, I will. I'm going to. That's it. I'm done already.
It's $600 for the Food Cycler.
$600 for that Food Cycler. It's definitely not the cheapest.
Hey, here comes a sucker.
You would. I mean, given that you can, you know, you can recycle in so many other ways, and you can compost in so many other ways, $600 for the benefit of doing that, plus power consumption for whenever it cooks your leftover food, it's not a really eco-friendly thing to do or wallet-friendly thing to do.
$600. I think you just have a compost heap.
That would be easier.
It sure would be easier. But, you know, I'm sure there'll be people out there that have more than more than they need, and they'll go and spend an extra $600 on one of these things. That's what Breville have designed it for, haven't they?
Whatever makes you look cooler are usually the case.
Yeah, that's right. The 2020 list of the most used passwords has been released, and let's remind you again that 123456 is not a secure password.
It's not, and it still seems to top out as be the most used. And most people are probably listening now thinking, oh my gosh, they've guessed my password. Anybody could guess that password. And what's interesting this year is we're seeing the password picture and the number one coming up in that list, which we haven't seen before. People using QWERTY, which is obviously the first, you know, six letters across your keyboard. Again, not a very smart way to have a password either. Or even just having repeated numbers, say, you know, 88888, not very smart either. So what I really recommend to people, and this is happening more, that people are getting hacked, come up with a phrase. You know, if it's a saying like "I love you," have that, but change letters to be numbers. So instead of an I, use a number one. Add a capital letter in there as well, and potentially add a symbol like an exclamation mark at the end. That is a secure password.
Do you know what gives me the you know what's? You
spend bad reception.
That's a certainty. What gives me the you-know-whats is you spend all this money on these bloody phones that have face recognition or a computer that has, you know, finger recognition, and then you keep getting asked to put a password in. I mean, that's ridiculous. What did I spend the bloody money for to buy this computer that enables me to just use a finger ID, and then it keeps telling you, you know, you've got to put in a code to use the finger ID every time you start the computer?
That is frustrating because I just did the upgrade on my Mac, and I know that since doing that, I have to actually do that every time I pair it up because normally I just leave it in scan.
Okay, let me ask you, why do we have to do this? Because I'm the same. Why do we have to do this?
It is frustrating, and it usually is because Apple or whoever it is want to ensure that it actually is that fingerprint sensor, which I think
not
is a
good.
Bit backwards.
Get rid of that phone. Start again. Apple, you dropped out after Apple.
Okay, so Apple will do that because they want to validate that it is you before it activates that fingerprint sensor. Because once you turn that computer off, that fingerprint sensor effectively forgets that it was you in the first place. So it's a weird way of doing it. I think it should be the other way around, but that's just Apple's way.
So is there a setting on your Apple computer that you don't have to put the password in every time? Because, you know, no one else is going to use my computer, right? Is there a setting on your computer in securities where you just don't have to sign in every time?
No, and it's the same for your phone. So your iPhone, if you were to reboot that completely, it will ask you to put your PIN code in before it allows Face ID or Touch ID to work as well.
And what about this Big Sur and the drain on the battery?
Yeah, this is interesting. I thought that my Mac was starting to get old, but it's only about 18 months old. But I'm definitely noticing that battery life is struggling. And I don't know if it's because of the applications I'm using that aren't, engineered properly for the new operating system. But I'm hoping that this gets better or Apple releases a patch that's going to fix it, because I'm having to plug in almost all the time now.
Well, let me tell you, I did the same as you probably Thursday, Wednesday of last week, updated to the new software. And I came to work and I have a laptop, a MacBook Pro, and normally it gets me through the 4 hours on air, right? And I'll go home and I might have 20, 30, 40% left. On Wednesday at 3 o'clock, it came up and told me the computer was about to shut down because I should plug in the adapter, and I don't have an adapter here with me. So I thought, this is a bit strange. So anyway, the computer shut down about 3:30, and I continued on. I got home, I recharged it, I charged it all night. I came to work the next day. When I left, it was 100%. At 3 o'clock the next afternoon, computer shutting down. Same thing Friday. So this is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. From having normally 40 maybe percent left at the end of the 4 hours, I've got nothing at 3 o'clock. I Googled what the problem was, and it seems more people have commented about it over the weekend. So this morning in the wee small hours, I Googled again, and there was an article that told me what to do to fix the problem. So I did what they said to do, and as it is now, it's what, 3:45, I've still got 68% battery left.
Oh, that's quite good. So whatever it is worked.
So whatever I did today worked, yeah.
I'll be on Google this afternoon. Then.
So if you go on Google about Big Sur draining battery, it'll tell you what to do.
Ah, good. And see, you've helped me today. I'm lucky.
There you go. Now, these passwords, we sort of got sidetracked, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, picture 1, password, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Then what is it? 6 ones is number 6. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 is number 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is number 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0 is number 9. What's this Senha? What's that?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a different language. I have no idea what Senha means.
S-E-N-H-A. That's number 10, and that's new, apparently.
It's very weird.
And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is number 11. Unbelievable, isn't it, that people just use that as their passwords?
Yeah, it is, and it's very common. You can see the number of users listed next to that. It's phenomenal.
There is listed under 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 as a password, number of users, 2,543,285. Is this just in Australia, or what's this?
This is going to be just from this company, which is called NordPass.
Right.
That's just what they've detected from people who go through them. And that's not going to be that many people. This isn't a consensus of the whole population. I think the number would be far higher if we actually were to sample things like Facebook or Twitter and things like that, or even your banking passwords, I think would probably surprise people.
All right, let's move on. I've also been testing, you say, a new wireless charger with a built-in speaker. Tell us about this.
Yeah, this is a great one from Belkin. It's called the Boost Charge Wireless Charging Stand. And it is a wireless charger which actually props your phone upright. But it also has a Bluetooth speaker built in. So if you want something that sort of sits on the bedside table or on the desk at the office, this one makes sense because you can be charging your phone and be streaming music to it's a pretty small speaker, but it is built in. So it's just a nice little companion thing that I like. Me, on my desk at the office, makes sense because I can be charging my phone and then just pick it up and walk away without it actually being connected to anything. It's $100, though. It's not cheap.
And last but not least, there's a new phone, a Chinese phone maker, Oppo. They've unveiled their Oppo rollable concept smartphone. You push a button and the phone gets bigger in front of your very eyes.
This is really cool, and I promise you that we'll be talking about this again next year when they start to actually sell them, probably in Australia, where, you know, a phone that you pull out of your pocket will effectively stretch to the side. So imagine.
Jeff, come back. Earth to Jeff.
Are we there? Are we there?
Yeah, you just dropped out. Come back again.
I'm right here.
Yep, say it again.
Okay, so imagine effectively pulling a phone out of your pocket that when you push the button, the screen will extend to the right. So almost going from a rectangle candy bar phone to a square, you know, notepad-looking device that you'll be using like a tablet. And it rolls out from the side. The actual screen will unroll, like almost like an old scroll used to.
Jesus, what a great idea. All you need is a phone, you push a button, and it becomes your iPad.
It is a really good idea, and I promise you we're going to see it. I think we've had the foldables. Now it's time for the rollables.
We won't see it from Apple, though.
No, definitely not. Not for a decade.
No. Exactly right. It's always good to catch up with you, Jeff. Thank you, mate. We appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you next Monday.
Thank you.
Get rid of the Nokia.
I'm going to.
Okay. All right. See you, mate. Thanks, Jeff.
Bye.
Bye-bye, mate. Jeff Quattromani.